thanks for joining us today, and we're glad that Simon and Zach can join me here as we discuss the way that people can learn how to speak with candor. And what does it mean to speak with candor, Zach?
If you speak candidly, then you are speaking very directly, openly, maybe truthfully and honestly.
And so for those that might not have been here yesterday, explain what we've been studying and where we're starting and about the article today, Simon.
Well, today we're on page 31 of our speed review that's in our June magazine, and we're looking at an article called Permission to Speak Freely. And the article gets its name from a book that we're reviewing called Permission to Speak Freely, How the Best Leaders Cultivate a Culture of Candor. And that book is written by two different people, Doug Crandall and Matt Kincaid. And yesterday we learned that basically the idea of this book is that no matter what kind of leader you are, because your group has a leader, there is a limitation to the communication. And it talked about a couple of reasons that that happens. Zach, do you want to talk about those two?
All right. So yesterday, the first reason that communication could be impeded is that a leader's power suffocates. So often we think of a leader as to be domineering, someone that is kind of likes to resume control, which makes sense if they're the leader. But it's almost sometimes it's too much, and so you'll suffocate. You'll kind of prevent people from speaking freely. The second reason for impeded communication was this fear of judgment or disapproval. And so we'll see that that there's a third one that we're going to talk about today.
That's right. And when we talked about that first rule, the leader's power suffocating, to be clear, it wasn't only domineering leaders or bad leaders who caused this to happen. It was all kinds of leaders, just because power kind of makes people hesitate before they speak. So they're not speaking freely. And so the idea was bad bosses can maybe make a situation worse, but even good bosses will end up limiting the smooth communication of the group.
Well, you've seen that sometimes. You know, you'll go to a committee meeting or something, and all the people will be talking about all these ideas, and the leader walks in, and everybody's just, they shut up, and they don't want to say anything now because the leader's here, and you just don't want to tell him, you know. They kind of feel like they have to protect their ideas, don't you think?
Yeah, and even if you're not afraid of the leader, there's also fear of other people in the group. So other people at the meeting, you know, maybe they will reject your ideas or disagree and argue with you. And so it can be hard when you're in sort of a structured environment to speak freely.
Well, there is a third way. Let's start out by just introducing what we're going to talk about today. Let's just read that very first paragraph on page 31 for today's lesson that talks about the third way that the leaders undermine communication.
The third way that leaders undermine communication and candor is continuously rejecting the ideas and contribution of their people. In the end, the authors write, "Rejection leads to fatigue. People give up on presenting ideas to their bosses because they know nothing will come of it."
That was a short reading, wasn't it? But
the introduction over today.
That's right. It fits this way well because that tiny little first reading really fits with what we were talking about yesterday. So yesterday, of course, we talked about the first way, the second way, and now we learned that the third way that leaders undermine communication or limit the free communication of their group is by rejecting ideas and contributions.
Right. If you know whatever you say, the leader's going to say, "Well, we're not going to do that. I don't want to hear that." Then pretty soon, it says you become fatigued. You're tired. I would say that you become discouraged.
Yep. I think that those two words can kind of be used synonymously. Fatigue means to be tired, exhausted, just even burned out.
Why bother, right?
Right. And so with that, there's this inherent discouragement, feelings of, "Oh, I just want to give up. What's the point?"
That's
they
right.
won't do anything anyway. Maybe.
Well, and I was going to say, we're actually in a minute, we're going to go on to different ways that bosses can improve this situation or leaders can improve this situation. But it's important if you're a person who works with a leader that kind of makes this situation difficult, makes communication difficult. It's important to realize that you aren't powerless in this sort of situation. So if your boss is continually rejecting your ideas, rather than just trying the same thing over and over again, you know, one of the things you can do is think about why your boss is rejecting those things. Like, what is the difference in the thinking between your boss and what you are proposing?
I think it's a great point, because reading the first day of the article, at first I assumed that this was a book that would, you know, leaders should go out and buy and read and take note of. But I think it's for anyone who might work in any kind of office space or who has, you know, is under leadership, because there's plenty of opportunities for them to improve or to, just be made aware of and try to work through to help with the communication process.
Right. Don't just give up on it and say, Well, the leader comes, I'm not going to say anything. That's not a good attitude for those attending either, is it?
Yeah. And, you know, in general, people who are living healthy, balanced lives tend to be people that focus on the things that they can change and the things they can do something mm-hmm. about. And so if you feel that you are suffering from rejection fatigue because you keep making suggestions to your boss and your boss keeps saying no, maybe it's time to focus on some of the things that you can change and see if you can kind of deal with that situation in a roundabout way.
Well, we want to have people open up to have this candor that we've been talking about, to be open. And there's four different ways. There's four paths that we can do that. And that's what we're going to talk about in today's lesson, because it says since leaders cause the problems, they can solve it. Now, that's good to know.
That's right. So shall we go on to the next reading and look at the first three?
Okay.
Four paths to candor. Since leaders cause the problem, they can solve it. Crandall and Kincaid lay out four specific steps for leaders who want to develop a culture of open communication. Assume positive intent. According to the authors, assuming that every time people speak up, their intent is to help the organization is the center of gravity for a culture of candor. Prove it's safe. Leaders need to be explicit about their desire for openness. Showing their own vulnerability will also help. Vulnerability begets trust, the authors explain. Dignify every try. Not every idea is a good idea, but every idea should be treated with dignity, not mocked or rejected without explanation. This ensures that when the person does have a good idea, he or she will not be afraid to put it forward.
So let's take some of these. The first one here is to assume a positive intent. Wow, positive is always important, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true, it is. And I guess, actually, this is kind of a general rule for life, right?
Like mm-hmm. Positive attitude.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you know, there's an old expression that people used to use when I was growing up. They say if you wake up in the morning, you know, and you meet a bad person, well, don't worry about it. You met a bad person. But if you wake up in the morning and you meet bad people all day, maybe you're the bad person, right?
And I've never heard that one before, but anyway.
Well,
did you make that one up, Simon?
I might have. Yeah. I might have made it up. But it was good advice, so I feel I was justified. But the idea here is that, you know, you don't want to think people are always doing things because they're out to get you. You want to assume, and that's what it means here, assume positive intent. Assume that the person has good reasons for what they're doing, and they're not out to get you. They're not trying to harm you. They're working for some kind of good goal.
Right. There's a real power to optimism or just thinking positively. And I think the point is made through Simon's illustration that if you kind of walk around with a chip on your shoulder, right, that you're going to really...
That's a good idiom, chip on your shoulder.
Right. And it just means kind of, you know, walking around and you're...
Bad attitude.
Mm-hmm. Right, with a bad attitude. That will be kind of your fate of that particular day or that season, that it takes kind of an assumption to assume positive intention of whatever you might be hearing or what's coming up at your company.
Right. Well, if somebody has an idea, and if I'm the boss and then Simon says something to me about I think we should do that, Well, I should realize that he's saying it because he wants to help the organization. He's not against what we're doing, but we have to realize that, oh yeah, well, he has good intent. He wants to help us, and that helps me look at his attitude, you know, a little bit better, don't you think?
I do, and I think of the phrase kind of giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Right? And so you're kind of...
He's not criticizing, he's just trying to make it better, right?
That's right.
That's right. And, you know, to be fair, this isn't always an easy thing to do. I've worked in some workplaces, not here at Studio Classroom,
good.
But some very competitive workplaces mm-hmm. where you really can't assume that people are on your side, even if they're on your team, you know? And so, depending on what your work history is, you might have developed kind of a habit of assuming that maybe people's intentions aren't the best. Maybe you should be careful and guarded.
You should look on the bright side of things.
Yeah, and so people feel that way naturally, right? Mm-hmm. After bad work experiences and things like that. And I think that's why the second point here is so important, because if someone comes out of a difficult, competitive working environment and they feel like it's not safe to trust other people, then mm-hmm. the second point really helps out, right? And the second point was prove it's safe.
So, yeah, did you hear that, leaders? Okay. We got to prove that it's safe, and they suggest that you need to be explicit. So very clear. Don't leave any room for doubt that
right.
there's this desire for openness.
And the leader can't just go and act like, well, I don't want to hear your ideas. I know what I'm doing. Then they aren't going to tell them anything. But if they say, hey, tell me your ideas. Let's think about it. So the leader has to let people know that they're willing to listen to your ideas, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. And if you want people to assume that other people are not out to get them, then the only way to really do that is to show that you're not out to get them. So when people make sort of contributions, you have to be supportive of that, even if you're not going to take it up and make changes because of their suggestion. And that's what we mean by proving things are safe. This second...
Vulnerability is a big word there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This second tip ends with vulnerability begets trust.
That's a big word there. What does that mean?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to actually read, so maybe Zach should
explain
that to us.
Are you vulnerable?
Well, this word vulnerability, okay, we're talking about kind of allowing yourself, putting yourself out there. You know, as a leader, we have to lead by example. We have to go first. And so if you're hoping to create the expectation that we can speak openly and freely and that these ideas are protected and safe, the leader needs to show that they put themselves out there, that they are vulnerable themselves.
Well, you don't want to be, you know, so vulnerable. You say, well, what don't you like about me? And then they might tell you, then I'm very vulnerable, because you might say,
sure.
I don't like this, I don't like that. So to be vulnerable means to be open. But you could say something about, do you think there's some other ideas that we can do as a company? And don't make it too personal, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's an appropriate process that would going to kind of to reach the goal. And what is the goal of vulnerability? Well, it's not just to be personal for the sake of being personal, but it's you're creating trust.
Yeah, you have to be very careful, because you don't want to be a boss that is useless, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for bosses to be experienced and competent and kind of know what they're doing. But at the same time, I remember when I first kind of moved into leadership positions, one of the difficult things to realize was this idea that you're allowed to add people to your team because you're not good at things.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a weakness as a leader, one of the best things you can
do
is get somebody who's a lot better at that thing than you are to join the team.
Right.
Right? Because sometimes if we want to show that we're, you know, the really good one at doing things, we want to add people to the team who appreciate sort of our skills rather than complement our skills or work well with our skills.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think as you do that and you make these decisions and you're proving that it's safe, trust will start to form within these relationships, and that's a good thing. When communication can rest on the trust, then you've achieved a goal.
But we've also mentioned, you know, yesterday we talked about how not everybody's input is necessarily equal.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes as the leader, you have more information and a better idea of what's actually going on. And so when team members make contributions, they're not always all good contributions. So you want
it
to be...
You don't have to accept all of them.
That's right, and that's the third point, though, right? It says, dignify every try. So not every idea is a good idea, but every idea should be treated with dignity.
Dignity and respect. You know, even though I might not do your idea, but I let you know, well, thank you for giving me the idea, and let's think about it. But I might have some other information that might not make it a good idea, but I don't have to tell you that's not a good idea. So you have to treat people with the fact is, I appreciate the fact that you told me your idea.
Well, I can imagine in these moments, this is a very vulnerable situation to find oneself in. They're throwing out an idea. And so this is a great opportunity for leaders either to send them away feeling rejected and down, or that give them some feedback, give them some constructive criticism, as we say, things to work on and paint a better picture or an expectation of what they can do the next time.
Yeah, the tricky thing here is it's easy to say, treat every idea with dignity. But if you're a leader, you know, you will hear ideas that are really terrible, really terrible ideas. And so the question here I think we want to get out of this is like, how do you treat even really bad ideas with dignity? And the advice they give sort of two very concrete, useful examples here. One is, each idea should not be mocked. So don't make fun of the person for having a stupid idea. Don't make them feel like they're stupid. And also, don't reject the idea without explanation. So explain to the person why that idea...
That might work, but...
Explain, you know, why it isn't going to work so that they can understand what was wrong with it. You know, I told that story yesterday about putting milk out and getting in trouble for doing it the wrong way and having no idea what I had done the wrong way.
But you need to know, right?
And so that's it, right? You just end up feeling stupid if you haven't had it explained to you. So you don't want to do that to your team members. Because if you do that, they'll be afraid the next time they have an idea. They won't be sure if they should put that idea forward.
Right. And so maybe the ideas themselves don't have dignity, but people, right? People have dignity, and we need to dignify the attempt. And I think with the idea of explaining, you just... The leader is taking time to explain something, that shows a real sign of just, I think, of positive leadership. And, yeah, they're taking the time to lead.
You know, a lot of people think they want to be a leader, but once they're a leader, they think, why did I want to be a leader? I even think about all the people in the government. You know, the minute they get elected, oh, isn't that great? But then everybody criticizes them and stuff. Why? Why do you want to do that?
It's not easy.
You want to help the country, and you're trying to, but people don't understand. So leaders have an awful lot to do with all the people, whether it's government or schools or even in a family leadership. It all works out. So we've got three of them here, but let's take the fourth one now, because we've got one more to do. Let's read number 4 on page 31. It says to be genuinely curious. Let's read that one.
Be genuinely curious. Leaders have to make a deliberate attempt to discover the new ideas that employees might not be sharing. The authors offer a compelling example of a unit created by the U.S. Army with the express purpose of communicating and connecting with Afghan women, who played an important role in garnering local support and intelligence in the war on terror. The importance of candor is not new, yet it continues to bedevil organizations and their leaders, sometimes with tragic consequences. This concise manual is an excellent tool to help leaders take concrete steps to overcome this frustrating and potentially dangerous problem.
So the fourth tip we get here is be genuinely curious. Genuinely, of course, means really, and curious means you're interested in learning about other things. And it goes on to explain this idea, be genuinely curious, by saying leaders have to make a deliberate attempt to discover new ideas people might not be sharing.
Now, you know, employees will often share these ideas with each other when they go out, but when the leader's there, they don't dare share it. So you want to be able to find out what some of the ideas that your staff has that they might not be sharing with you. So you have to decide to discover this and be willing to change.
Yeah. And I think that's a great word for us to consider, is to be deliberate. Make an intentional effort, that it takes hard work and, you know, just to kind of create and permeate that genuineness, that curiosity. And I think that's just a mark of a great leader.
Well, they find that's true in offices and all, but even when people are out in the field, like these officers that were in the Army, they found they had a hard time connecting with the people in Afghanistan. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, the war in Afghanistan was a very, was and is, continues to be a very difficult situation for a number of women. Basically, before the war began, the country was controlled by a group of religious extremists who had very, very strict rules in place, especially for a lot of different people in society. And one of the groups that seems to have suffered particularly a lot under that leadership was women. And so women in Afghanistan didn't necessarily want to return to that government, which made them maybe naturally friendly or natural allies of the U.S. Army when they were in Afghanistan. But of course, that doesn't mean these people weren't religious people.
No.
And so there were a lot of different cultural rules about what kinds of roles women could take in public life. And so we see here that the book gives a compelling example. So a compelling example is like an interesting or useful example of a unit, a group of people in the U.S. Army that was created to communicate with these Afghan women.
Because the women knew a lot of information, and they could garner or they could gather local support if they were for you or against you. And they could give you intelligence that the Army couldn't find out. And so they could tell you things, but you still have to make a way of expressing the fact that you want to hear their ideas. And pretty soon, these women were able to tell the soldiers a lot of things that helped them a lot, to save their lives even.
And this is not new, right? In line 11, it says the importance of candor is not new. That this is a reoccurring theme, whether it's in business and just when you're looking at communication, it's so important. And yet, it does continue to bedevil organizations and their leaders. So this word bedevil is just to confuse, annoy. It just creates lots and lots of difficulties, and we're still not quite sure what to do with it.
Well, and to be honest, I think the big lesson we're getting out of that last tip, the be genuinely curious one, is, you know, I might have actually rephrased that, like, find creative ways of accessing information and input from people.
That's
rather
good.
Than
and
just be
genuine. And be open, too. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, this example they have of the U.S. Army, I mean, you know, I would be nervous, you know, walking up to the gate of a U.S. Army base and being like,
yeah.
Hey, can I see somebody in charge? I got some information.
You've
got
to find a way to contact them. Right?
And so if you want people to give you information, you have to create ways to access that information. And I think, you know, that's a thing that does bedevil organizations. That was a really interesting word you just said there,
mm-hmm.
Zach.
Right.
When you are bedeviled, it means you are having constant, very serious difficulty, and you just do not know how to solve it. And so not just a problem for the U.S. Army, a problem for all organizations is getting accurate information about what is actually going on.
Right, to discover these new ideas, find out some things that people are talking about but you haven't been able to share. So this is kind of a manual. It's like a guideline. It's like a tool to help you take definite, when you say concrete steps, means definite steps to overcome this problem that's really frustrating and can be dangerous to your company if you don't do it. You won't grow and you won't have any good relationship with your staff. So it's very important to think about this candor of being open and having people not afraid of you, give them permission to speak freely. That's what we've been talking about.
And so if you're a leader, you can ask yourself, what are some of the concrete steps that I should take in my place of business, whether it's assuming positivity or being a little more optimistic, creating a safe environment for people to be vulnerable. And maybe that means you need to be vulnerable yourself, or maybe you need to start dignifying certain attempts and not mocking people and allowing people, giving them an explanation as to why you rejected their idea. And don't forget, Maybe you just need to be genuinely curious. Try to think creatively about how to get information.
There we go. And even if you're not a leader, you can do many of these same things. So don't assume that your boss just doesn't like you if your boss rejects your ideas, right? Think about doing things like asking why the idea has been rejected. I mean, mm-hmm. you can do it in a polite way. You don't have
candor, you can be truthful.
Yeah, that's right. You can say, you know, I don't understand. I want to give better suggestions in the future. Can you explain, you know, where I'm going wrong here? And there are things you can do even if you're not a leader.
And I think this has to do with confidence and trusting each other. And I think trust is very important in anything, in a job, in a family, in the world, wherever we go. And we have to build this trust. And this trust comes from being open with each other and also respecting each other and being dignified. So we can learn that in all of our relationships, can't we?
That's right.
Well, thank you for being with us as we talked about the speed review on this book and apply some of these things to your own life. And we're glad that we can speak freely with you here in advance. So come and join us every day for different topics. We're glad to have you with us, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.